You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to answer your mailbag questions with our friend, who is the editor over at JetNation.com, Mr. Glenn Naughton. Next question comes in from Fergus OB1. He says, has Rex Hogan leaving actually made JD get his finger out as far as going back to basics, his Philly roots? I guess what he's referring to is all the one-year deals, because that happened a lot in Philly, if you remember 2017. And we talked about this on the show. They did a bunch of these, and the one that really stuck out was Alshon Jeffrey. Joe Douglas, from what I understand, was a big part of convincing Alshon Jeffrey to come to Philly that year, because they had been together in Chicago the year before. And he convinced Alshon Jeffrey that if he came to Philly, not only would he have a chance to compete for a championship, but also he would be able to showcase his skills and get himself a nice, big, long-term contract. Both of those things ended up happening. He ended up staying in Philly for that long-term contract, though. And so if you look at what the Jets did, and we talked about this with Nick Ferrier the other day, it's pretty much all one-year contracts, with the exception of John Simpson, and that's a very low contract anyway. So it's basically 1 year, and all of these guys are coming in to try and do something this year, while at the same time, Douglas maintains his future flexibility if he keeps his job past this year. So he was able to put a lot of chips in the middle of the table for this year without ruining next year if he makes it to next year. It's a pretty good gambit if you think about it. Now, it's got to work. That's the key here. If it doesn't work, then he's going to be out of here. But I think that's really what Fergus OB1 is talking about, and it makes sense. I don't think Rex Hogan has anything to do with it, but I think that it's just something Douglas realized was the best path forward given the current situation.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things, it's impossible to say, right? Because we can speculate all we like about who does what behind the scenes, but really we don't know. I mean, how heavily did Joe Douglas weigh on Rex, or you know, or how much weight did Rex's opinion hold in that room? I know he was a very respected guy. I don't think that means that Joe Douglas was doing everything Rex was telling him to. I don't think that he, you know, could function at a much higher level with or without. He's still the GM. He's still responsible for evaluating. And it's what's going to be interesting to me is finding out who are his key advisors right now, because his two top lieutenants left in the offseason. So we really don't know who's advising him. But I love the approach, as you mentioned it, Scott, and I've talked about it and thought about it. Just bring in a bunch of guys who are on 1 year deals, so they're going to be hungry to prove that they can. You know, basically they're all getting 1 year prove it deals, and some of them have very high ceilings. So if they hit those ceilings and they're hoping to get big paydays next offseason, then the Jets will benefit in a big way.
Next question comes in from Easy Money X. He asks, I have a question for you. I'm not on the Brock Bowers train. Why would you want Brock Bowers when Tyler Conklin is already here? Why is everyone acting like the Jets don't already have a tight end that can play? Tyler liked the tweet that I added him, and the tweet was about chilling with the Brock Bowers talk because the Jets already have Tyler Conklin, who had the most receptions and yards since Dustin Keller had 65 catches for 815 yards in 2011. Conklin had 61 catches for a little over 600 yards. Listen, this is nothing against Tyler Conklin. Tyler Conklin's a perfectly capable tight end. He's somewhere middle of the pack as a starter, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But number one, that's not a reason not to draft a guy who you think could be a generational prospect at the position. But also, more importantly, Brock Bowers isn't really just the tight end. And I know that people say that a lot about running backs and guys like Deebo Samuel, who really isn't just the wide receiver. But that's sort of how you have to look at Brock Bowers, the way that you look at a guy like Deebo Samuel, an overall offensive weapon. In fact, Nate Tice wrote a great piece over at Bleacher Report, and I encourage anybody who hasn't read it yet to go check it out. I posted it on my Twitter, so if anybody goes to my Twitter account at PlayLikeAJet1, they can see it. Glenn posted it as well on his account at JNRadio_Glenn. You can see it there either way. But what Nate Tice said is that if you look at the snap counts, Brock Bowers actually only lined up at tight end under 50% of the time. I think it was like 43% or something like that. I'd have to look at the exact number. He was lined up all over the field. He can play in like 8 million different ways and beat you in like 8 million different ways. You could have him and Tyler Conklin on the field together all the time. It's not something that would be a rare instance because of what Bowers brings to the table. He and Conklin could be on the field together plenty. So you could have Tyler Conklin and Brock Bowers on the field. This doesn't have to impact Tyler Conklin. So there's no reason for Tyler Conklin to impact any plans the Jets might have to draft Brock Bowers. If they like Brock Bowers and think he could be an impactful player day number one, take him. And then there's plenty of ways that he and Tyler Conklin can be used together. Also, the people talking about Jeremy Ruckert and Kenny Eboah is guaranteed like $200,000. Who cares? At that rate, he could be on the practice squad or they could cut him. No one's concerned about Kenny Eboah. I'm sure he's a nice guy and all of that, but he doesn't factor into this. And Jeremy Ruckert, he looked better at fullback, honestly, than he did at tight end. He has 159 career receiving yards. I think his future is probably at fullback anyway, and so he doesn't really factor into this either. So nothing against Tyler Conklin, perfectly capable tight end, but he shouldn't in any way mean anything when it comes to whether or not the Jets decide to draft Brock Bowers.
Yeah, Scott, that's been my argument with Bowers for a while now. I keep saying to people, stop thinking of him as just a tight end. Like, he lines up all over the place. He makes plays all over the place. And as you said, Tyler Conklin, nice player. I like him. I'd have no problem with him staying, extending, keep him around, even with Bowers, because you can deploy both of them at the same time. But you don't pass on a guy who could, in all reality, be a top five player at his position in the next 3 or 4 years. And an impact guy as a rookie. He's not just developmental. He can do enough that he can have a big impact as a rookie. Over the next 3 or 4 years, he can become top five at his position. You don't pass on a guy like that because you have a pretty good player who plays the same position. And again, Conklin plays fewer positions or wouldn't play them as well if you moved him around. So as we've said on our show a few times, you don't pass on a great player because you have a good player. And I think that's kind of where the Jets are with this. And there's so many reasons that in favor of taking Bowers that the more I think about it, the more surprised I would be if he's not the pick, if he's there at 10 for the Jets.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Next question comes in from Tyler Sloboda. He asks, what should the Jets do from here? Are there any other free agents you think they should sign? What would you do at number 10 if Brock Bowers is off the board? Lastly, would you re-sign Ashton Davis? I think he showed nice improvement last year. Yeah, I would sign Ashton Davis if it was up to me. I do think he showed improvement, and the team is very thin at safety, so you could probably get him relatively cheaply. He's still out there. Why not? As far as other free agents, talked about this before, I would like to see them sign Donovan Smith. I would like to see them bring back Connor McGovern. On the defensive side of the ball, Davis would be cool. There are several safeties out there that are still lurking that the Jets might be able to get on a one-year deal that could help, because they are extremely thin at safety. Right now, all they have is Tony Adams. So go ahead, get somebody at safety. Why not? As far as who I'd like to see them get at number 10, if Brock Bowers is off the board, it really depends on who is on the board. If Roma Dunze is there at number 10, I think you take Roma Dunze. If the three wide receivers and Bowers are off the board at 10, then that probably means a tackle you weren't expecting is there. And while it wouldn't be my first choice just because I think you need somebody that can come in and make an impact right away, maybe there's a tackle that's so good you can't pass up on him. Then, of course, there's the possibility of trading down, especially if somebody slides down that you weren't expecting or somebody wants to come up for a quarterback. So it's really tough to say, but until I see how the board falls, I can't really give a definitive answer here.
Yeah, I think the if I'm the Jets, I'm going to call up and check on the status of Charles Leno, Redskins left tackle. He's another veteran name out there, but he apparently had hip surgery that was significant enough that I don't really know when he'll be ready for the season, if he plans on playing. But he's a sort of a, you know, adequate starter at a position where, as we've said, they can use some depth. You talked about safety, Scott. You know, Justin Simmons is out there. He's a veteran. He's been around for a while, and the Jets do need some help there. Ashton Davis, I think I'd be surprised if Davis isn't back. I don't think he's going to get monster offers. The need is still there for the Jets, and I would imagine he's just, they may have just told him to shop around and you know, see what he gets. He's not going to command big money anywhere, so maybe you bring Ashton Davis back. It's, you know, it's nice to see young players, to see the light come on and they start playing at a higher level, which is exactly what we saw with him. So I think he's a guy who might be back. And as far as other, you know, there's not a lot of other free agents out there. Donovan Smith, of course, who we've talked about. He would be the other one starting. He'd be the other one, a guy with starting experience who's obviously played on some very good teams and been a starter for those teams.
Next question comes in from Sean Stalker. He asks, what are your thoughts about clearing more cap space to add Tyler Boyd as wide receiver 3 and truly free them up to go either offensive tackle or Bowers in the draft? Boyd hasn't missed a game in the last 3 years and averaged 64 catches and 750 yards with 4 TDs over that time frame. As the number 3 receiver in Cincinnati's offense, if the Jets got him, personally, I would lean towards offensive tackle at number 10. I wouldn't be against it. I just don't know that they can free up the kind of cap space they would need to sign Tyler Boyd. And honestly, I think at this point, I'd probably lean towards getting contingency plans at offensive line. Like I said, Connor McGovern and Donovan Smith, they won't be that expensive. You're probably looking at a combined $4 or $5 million. But remember, the Jets don't have a ton of cap space to play with. They've got to pay draft picks. They've got the practice squad and all of that. So if I were to clear cap space, it would probably be for McGovern, Donovan Smith, and maybe a safety, guys like that. But if they were able to find a way to get Tyler Boyd, I certainly wouldn't be against it. He's a good wide receiver, and he would fill a need for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, Scott, is I think they're currently sitting at around $13 million in cap space. Of course, you're going to need 10 for the rookie. So they're already in a position where they're going to have to make more moves before, you know, they're going to have to make more moves sooner or later before they can even think about going out and adding a guy like Boyd, who would cost a fair bit. But it's one of those things. If they can make that work, you'd absolutely want him in here as another established veteran pass catcher. I don't see it happening personally.
Next question comes in from Peter LaFontaine. He asks, if the Jets do pick Brock Bowers at number 10, who do you think would be the best offensive tackle available at 72? Would you feel okay about him stepping in if Smith gets hurt during the year? So let's say this. First of all, I think they should get a veteran offensive tackle to add to the roster. Also, it's possible that they are way higher on Carter Warren than we expect. Maybe they think he's fully capable of stepping in for a couple of games to play offensive tackle. As far as who they could get at 72, I think that's something where you might just go best offensive lineman as opposed to going with a tackle. But remember, the Jets do have 2 fourth-round picks, so they could try to maneuver their way into the second round using a third and a fourth to move up if there's an offensive tackle or offensive guard or center they really like. We talked about Cedric Van Pran as one example of somebody that maybe they could get. Christian Mahogany if they were to trade up. So I think what it really comes down to is, can they get a veteran offensive tackle? Do they like Carter Warren? Who's on the board at 72? Because it's really hard to know at this moment who could potentially be there. But also, do you just go with the best offensive lineman available in that spot if you decide to go offensive line? That's where I would lean, because you do, of course, have the option of moving Elijah Vera Tucker to tackle in an emergency as well. So I think you're better off grabbing the best offensive lineman you can get as opposed to just pigeonholing a specific position at that point.
Yeah, it's funny to get that question now because I'm doing a Jet Nation draft profile at the moment. And the guy I'm writing up is Roger Rosengarten of Washington. The reason I picked him is he's a guy that I've seen on a few mock draft machines. And he's sitting there at in the 70s at 72. I think he's good enough that he could go before that, especially being a tackle and the value put on those guys nowadays. But super athletic guy, played at Washington, where obviously they had a ton of talent on that line. Really aggressive. I like him. I don't know that he'll be there, but if he is, I would definitely consider him there. Kieran Omegaji. This is he's a frustrating prospect in that it's almost impossible to find any real film on him. He played at Yale, but the little bit I've been able to find has me really wanting more because he looks like a very good player. I've seen a few sites that have him listed as a top 100 player or a top 100 pick. So he's a guy that you would consider there if you're just looking at tackle. Blake Fisher, a more athletic, you know, he plays opposite Joe Alt at Notre Dame, another athletic guy who could be there. So there will be some options. Obviously, none of them are going to be viewed nearly as highly as the sort of top 6-7 guys in this year's class. But there are some guys who could be sitting there that in a year or two could develop into starter types.
Next question comes in from Michael Christopher. He asks, hypothetical, if the Jets lost that game to the Pats the final week of the season and they lost to Washington, a game that they almost blew, they would be sitting on a gold mine right now at number 5. Would you consider trading out, even though it would mean not getting Harrison, Alt, or Neighbors, to take the Vikings package of 11-23 and something next year? It's tough to think about what could have been. It really depends on what the Vikings are willing to offer. I'm not sure what their intentions are at this point, honestly. Are they willing to make such a bold move to get J.J. McCarthy? It just seems kind of wild to me because I don't think McCarthy's that kind of prospect. Or do they really want somebody like Neighbors or Harrison to team with Justin Jefferson? That seems a little nutty because you have to pay Justin Jefferson now and still don't really have a quarterback. If they were able to get a King's ransom like that, absolutely. Otherwise, you just sit there at number 5 and take whoever's left between Marvin Harrison or Malik Neighbors. That would be my inclination.
Yeah, you know, it's such a tough thing to sit through knowing that the Jets could be, especially the Washington game's one thing. I think winning that New England game, really what bothers me is you've now put New England in a position to grab a guy like Drake May, and who knows what happens from there. But as far as the Jets go, it would have to be a lot to get me to not draft Marvin Harrison if I'm the Jets, because that guy's just, as I've said before, you know, one of my favorite draft podcasts at the moment is the CBS Sports one with Rick Spielman. And Spielman's not a guy who doles out high praise. If you listen to their pod enough, you kind of get that he is a tough grader. He doesn't overhype anyone. There's not a lot of fluff. He just tells it like he sees it. And every time they talk about Marvin Harrison Jr., he's like, that guy's a future Hall of Famer. Like, so he's not one of these hyperbolic guys that says that about 4 or 5 different players every year. That's how highly, and listen, I watch him at the height, the speed, the body control, the bend, the twitch, like it's all there. To not take that guy, I'd have to be completely blown away because I think pairing him with Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers would be just video game numbers offense.
Another guy the Jets could have taken in that scenario, of course, is Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame. And Kevin Hughes asks, everybody thinks the Titans will take Joe Alt at number 7, but if he's already gone and Neighbors is still on the board, should the Jets consider trading up for him? Yeah, why not? If you can go up from 10 to 7, depends on the price. But if you think Malik Neighbors can be a real difference maker, you're number one, and I don't see why you wouldn't think that, sure, absolutely explore the possibility. And if it doesn't cost an insane amount, definitely consider it, because you get a guy like that, put him with Garrett Wilson, and have Breece Hall out there catching passes two out of the backfield with a healthy Aaron Rodgers, and that could be a devastating offense.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't have said any better. I mean, the more weapons, the merrier. It's, you know, we've been saying for years, it's time for this offense to finally, you know, enter this century and stop just kind of dragging along and finishing in the bottom four or five every single year, which really does seem to be the case. So 100%. I mean, the possibilities for the points you can put up and with this defense supporting you, absolutely.
Next question comes in from Luca B. He asks, how would you celebrate if the Jets actually won the Super Bowl? I would end up being drunk for a minimum of 4 days. I'll tell you what I would probably do if the Jets won the Super Bowl. I would continue podcasting, but I would be podcasting on location from somewhere very nice, because I would treat myself to an outstanding vacation, because I would feel like after all these years of suffering through heartbreak and agony and misery, I would need a celebration that would be befitting of the day that they finally were able to break through and deliver a moment of ultimate happiness for us. Where would I go? I'd have to think about that one. There'd be a long list of nice places, but you would be hearing me doing podcasts on location from somewhere other than the New York, New Jersey area. I'd be probably somewhere either tropical or overseas and having a lot of fun doing podcasts, celebrating the fact that the Jets have finally won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I've thought about this over the years, and I honestly have no idea. I'm like, would I just erupt and start, you know, losing my mind and breaking stuff? Or would I just stare blankly in disbelief that the Jets finally did it? Because it's been so long, it'd be kind of a, I would think, maybe a surreal moment where I'd have a hard time believing it happened. Here's to hoping we find out one day.
Glenn Naughton, editor, JetNation.com. Thanks so much for coming on and answering mailbag questions with me. Really appreciate it. I know you guys have a ton going on over at JetNation.com right now, so make sure that you go to JetNation.com. Listen to Glenn and Dylan Terriman on JetNation Radio as well. Check out everything we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.